My name is Ty French, and these are my rants.
Welcome to Ty Rants.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Ty Rants. My name is Ty French, and these are my rants. TGIF, happy Friday, everyone. I might sound a little bit more demure today. I might be a little bit more relaxed than my typical, you know, yep, yep, yapping. And this is for a few reasons. One being that it is currently 9:30 p.m., and I respect those around me. I respect neighbors. I respect, you know, the general society of Venice. So in their best interests, I don't want to be, you know, just yelling about here on the podcast late at night. You know, it's a working business day. People got to get up and work tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know what my neighbors do. I don't know if they're doctors. They're probably not. If they are, they're at a bad hospital because they're not making a lot because they live next to me. That's numero uno. The reason number dos, I'm so sleepy. I'm so tired. Oh my gosh. I have been just running around. In the wise words of Katie off of Mean Girls, I could hear people getting bored with me, but I just couldn't stop. That is me for the last 6 weeks, every time I get on the podcast and talk about Coachella and how hard it is and how hard my life is. And I'm just so busy getting ready. I understand. I understand the annoyance. It's like nails on a chalkboard, but guess what? I can hear it as well, but I can't stop. My life is consumed. It's all consuming. And I don't know how people like don't just, maybe it's just because I like it so much, but like, how do you go to Coachella and like not make it your entire personality? How do you not spend so much time on the outfits and whatever? Like, how do you get anything done in the month leading up to it? Yeah. But anyways, I obviously should record this earlier on in the day, but I figured I was going to get all my packing done and everything that I needed to do, all my errands, and then I would come hang with my tyrants late at night because then there's no time restraint. I don't got to hurry and go to an event like Wednesday's episode or anything. Now, by the end of the episode, I might get tired and I might have to call it early. I don't know. But alas, here we are. I know you guys are sick of hearing about it, but anyways, when you guys are listening to this, I will be at Coachella. I'm such a LA bitch. Like, I am so basic. It's insane. I know I am. Like, I like an Air One smoothie. I like to go to Coachella. I am an influencer in LA. I have a podcast. Like, oh my God, I am what people make fun of on the internet. I am what people make memes about. I don't even care because I love it. And I love Coachella. I'm so pumped. I went to an event, like a pre-Coachella event on Wednesday. That's why I had to wrap the episode early. And it was actually hosted by Evan Mock, which was really cool to see him in person. I don't know if he's the owner of the brand or if he's just an ambassador or what, or if he did like a collection or whatever. The event didn't really give me a lot of details. It was... And I don't even know how to pronounce the brand. Oh, I'm such a bad influencer. You guys, I'm sorry. Because it's in Hawaiian, so I don't want to get it wrong. Not that that stopped me mispronouncing every single Spanish word that I know. But anyways, it was with Revolve Man, and I'm trying to get it with them. So I went to the event, and my friend Nick Mackey came with me. It was really fun. When you're listening to this, me and Nick Mackey are just going to be dancing around, probably chugging a beer, having a shot. Oh my God, you guys. I cannot wait to drink. I cannot wait to party this weekend. I have earned it. I've been working so hard the last few weeks, making sure that I have all my ducks in a row for this weekend. And I've been taking a break from the booze, as you guys know. So I'm just really, really excited to get a drink, to get a tequila shot in my system ASAP, immediately upon entry of Camp Rat. general admission is tequila shot. That's how you get into Camp Rat. Also, Tyrants, I'm sure, well, if you're going to Coachella, you're probably not listening to this. You're going to have to listen to it later because you're probably going to be at Coachella now. But maybe you're listening to it on your way into Coachella. I don't know. So, Tyrants, if you see me out at Coachella, I would love for you to come say hi. Do not be nervous. I love meeting you guys so much. And I hate when I get a DM from someone like after the fact. And it's like, oh my gosh, I just saw you at, you know, Air One. And I got too nervous. I didn't want to say hi. Ma'am, I am not Kim Kardashian. I am not anything. Like, we are besties. And I want to meet you. So please come up and say hi. Now, that being said, prepare yourself for tequila. Prepare yourself for me to be positively fucked the fuck up. Because that's what I do at Coachella. I like to let loose. And I don't know. I mean, my outfits are kind of crazy this year. You might not even recognize me. I'm so excited for you guys to see. I can't. Oh my gosh. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, maybe my first outfit will already be live on the gram. So go check it out. Yeah, I just feel like, in theory, camping at Coachella is a lot cheaper, right? And then you have to get all the shit, which, I mean, kind of equals out to be the same amount. Granted, I guess then you just, like, have all the stuff to go camping forever. And I had a lot of stuff from last year, so I didn't have to get too much stuff. But we have two camping sites this year instead of just one. And so I had to go get just, you know, like another like patio tent, like an awning thing. And just so many random little things that add up. Like I just went to the grocery store and got like a body mirror and Gatorade and all of that stuff. Makeup wipes. $300 later. And then I went to Ulta and I got self-tan. And a few other random like beauty things. $150 later, I'm just like, oh my God. Also, we've gotta discuss this. And maybe I can talk about this at a different time when I can actually get loud and be annoying. The amount, oh my God, I'm already getting worked up. The amount of fucking questions that the bitches in Ulta ask me as I'm going up and down the aisles, after every single aisle, there's another associate. Hi, can I help you? Okay, great. That's so nice. Then when I say no, do not inform me and give me a flyer of your yearly sale that has all these brands. And then when I go to the next aisle, the next bitch does the exact same thing to me. Like, I can't do it. I literally, by the time I got through the third aisle, I felt like I was so short with the girl. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. This is not your fault. But also, shut the fuck up. Like, can you guys stop like harassing me? I'm just trying to come in and get some makeup wipes. Oh my God, it was just so annoying. And then she like looked at me all weird when I got to the front register and I didn't want to give her my phone number or my email because I'm like, girly, I don't want you to harass me. I don't want you to email me. I don't want you to sell my data. Like, I just want a printed receipt and I want to go on my merry way. She was like, oh, well, this, and these are the benefits, blah, blah. I'm like, ma'am, I don't want to give you my email. Leave me alone, please. I've already been harassed every aisle up and down this freaking Ulta. Anyways, needless to say, my patience is at an all-time low. My energy is at an all-time low. And what better thing to do when you're in this state of mind than to go to the nail salon? It's that time of the month, ladies and gentlemen, and non-binary community, they, thems, all people of gender appropriations. If you know, you know. But it's time to go to the salon for some French tips. I am going to try and get through all the ones that you guys sent me. I posted on my Instagram story the other day. If you guys are new here, French Tips is my monthly advice segment where you guys send in anything that you want advice on. And yeah, we're going to just go through. I have not read any of these before. I'm obviously on a time crunch today, but I'm going to try and give you a full long episode and I'm going to try and answer as many of your guys' questions or, you know, give as many tips as I can today at the salon. Anyways, was there anything else I wanted to say in the intro? I feel like there was something else I wanted to say, but my brain is literally mush. Yep, that's it. Anyways, time to go to the salon. The first timer at the salon says, hi, I absolutely adore your podcast. I always laugh so hard listening to you talk and ramble, and I love your energy. I just started listening in 2024. Oh, wow, thank you. We got new tyrants. I love you. This year has been absolutely shit so far, but your podcast has been a literal beacon of light in my life. Wow, I love you. Thank you so much. Okay, so I went through a breakup in January, and it was, and still is, one of the worst feelings and experiences I've ever been through. I always think that I'm over him, but then I break down randomly crying about how much I miss him. The reason he broke up with me is because he didn't love me. I genuinely loved him and still do, and I was crushed. How would you deal with getting over your first love? Also, how do I cope with the fact that I was actually unlovable to this person? Sending all the love and good vibes your way. Oh my goodness, my little tyrant. I just want to shake you because I have been there before and it is so hard. It is so hard. There are multiple things in life that are literally debilitating and life-altering and so hard to get through and that nobody teaches you about. Two of those things are dealing with your first heartbreak and taxes. Dealing with your first heartbreak and taxes, no one teaches you how to do that. There's no handbook on how to do it. And it can be a painful and emotional process. I say that because tax day is Monday. Everyone do your taxes. I've not filed yet and I'm terrified. I'm going to have to call Larry, my accountant. But anyways, you are not unlovable at all. Like, just because this person wasn't in love with you, that doesn't mean that they don't have love for you and that they don't care about you. And that doesn't mean that someone else won't be madly in love with you. Like, that's obviously not your person. Do you know what the percentage is of people who marry their first love? I don't know the percentage, but I can bet you it's very, very slim. Or the people that do marry their first love get divorced after 20 years. I don't know. But I cannot even express to you how devastated I was after my first breakup and my second breakup. It doesn't really get easier, honestly. It's not like how to deal with a breakup, your first breakup, how to get over your first love. The first love will always hold, you know, something over you for sure. But heartbreak is just hard and no one teaches you about it. And with each heartbreak, you're going to learn so much about yourself and you're going to come out on top. And I know that everyone says that. And I've been in your shoes where I felt so low and I felt like so ugly and so unlovable. And like, it just was not going to happen for me. And I look back at that version of myself and I am shook. Like, I am truly mind blown that I let this person that now I haven't spoke to in 8 years and literally could care less about. Like, I have no physical attraction to him. I have no emotional connection to him. Like, we are not in each other's lives whatsoever. And the fact that I let someone that was so disposable in my life let me get to such a dark space is so, like, now that I am on the other side, it's so frustrating to hear people going through that experience for the first time and knowing that there is nothing that I can say to you right now that is going to take that pain away. This is going to be something that you are going to have to work through on your own. All I can say is what everyone says and what everyone said to me is that you are going to get through this. You are lovable. You are going to find someone so much better. And that's not necessarily going to be the next person. Maybe the next person that you meet is going to be a little bit better than him, but you're going to learn, you know, through that first relationship, you're going to learn about things that you want and you don't want, or things that you like and you don't like, or your, you know, your love language. And then your next relationship, that guy might have those things, or, you know, that partner might have those things, but they might teach you a ton of other things that you need or you don't need or don't like or want, or, you know, so that's dating. That's life. Like, you are going to have to fall and get back up and you're going to have to get your heart broken and then you're going to have to heal. And that is literally just life. And it's so hard. And trust me, it doesn't get any easier. Like, my second relationship was, the heartbreak was maybe even worse than the first because I was much more mature and I was like more of an adult. And I want to do an episode on heartbreak and my feelings on that and, you know, go more into the nitty gritty of what I think is acceptable in relationships or just how I view relationships and what I learned in my heartbreaks and all of that. So maybe I'll save that advice for that rant when I can really, you know, dive deeper into my thoughts on that. But just know that you are lovable. And this guy not loving you has nothing to do with you. It just is like your person is going to be your person. And when it clicks, it's just going to make sense. And if it didn't make sense to him, that's fine. Like, you know, everyone comes into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. This guy came in for a reason and a season. It was just quick. And he needed to teach you about heartbreak. And you're going through that. And I'm so sorry you're going through that. But you're going to be just fine. I'm not worried about you one bit. But thanks so much for writing in. I love you. And thanks for the kind words, my new little tyrant. Anyways, the next tyrant at the salon says, Ty, first off, I just want to say your podcast has gotten me through probably the hardest year of my life. And I just hope you know how impactful and important you are to me. You guys, I'm way too tired to be, you know, reading these nice messages because I will cry. I will cry right now. That is so sweet. That is so nice. Oh my gosh. I just love you guys. Okay. As for French tips, I'm split between Boston and good old Richmond, Virginia, which I know you're kind of familiar with. If you guys don't know, tyrants, I graduated my senior year of high school from Richmond, Virginia. My family still lives there. Anyways, I'm in law school in Boston, but I'm interning in my hometown of Richmond right now for my last semester. After I graduate, I have to study for the bar exam, SOS, and I'm trying to decide if I should stay in Richmond or go back to Boston. Boston pros. Have an amazing apartment there. Best friends live there. Can be more independent because right now I'm staying at my parents' house in Virginia. Boston cons. So expensive. Would have to leave a cute man I've been seeing behind. Richmond pros. I'm 2 months into seeing a really sweet guy here. It's way cheaper. Could save more money before moving to Connecticut where I'll be practicing law. Richmond cons. Don't get as much independence. Hot as hell here. All of my adult siblings are moving to my parents' home for the summer, so lots of potential family conflict. My cute apartment in Boston will be left empty, and I can't sublet. What are your thoughts? Love you. Bye. Wow, Tyrant, you're putting a lot of trust in me to help you with this situation. My initial reaction is to just say, like, go with your gut. Like, what is your gut telling you? Is your gut, you know, kind of making you lean towards one or the other and something's holding you back? Go with your first thought. Go with your gut reaction. If Boston, if you're just saying like, I really want to be with my friends. I don't want to be independent. I don't want to fight with my siblings. But like, oh, but this cute guy is kind of holding me back. Don't stay back for the guy. You've only been seeing him for 2 months. And if he really likes you, you guys can make long distance work. Boston and Richmond are not that far away from each other. And I'm sure you can get flights really cheap. It's going to be summer. So it's going to be a few months. It's not like you're moving to Boston permanently. Anyway, you have to move to Connecticut where you're going to be practicing law anyway, eventually. So eventually you and this guy are going to have to be dealing with long distance if you guys want to make it work. So I wouldn't let the guy hold you back. Personally, to me, like this were me, which it's not, but I haven't ever been to Boston, but I would much rather be in Boston than Richmond because I've lived in Richmond and it's boring as shit. And I'm sorry to all my Virginia tyrants, all my Richmond tyrants, but there's just not much to do. And it is hot as hell. It's humid as hell. And I don't know. I just don't love it. Like, I think it's cute to visit or whatever, but if you have a ton of best friends in a really cute apartment in Boston, like, hello, I would way rather be there. But I don't know. You're just going to have to go with your gut. You're going to have to go with your gut, but that's my thoughts. Anyways, thanks for coming to the salon. I love you. The next tyrant at the salon says, Hi, Ty. I'm from a small town, but I just got accepted into a big college about an hour flight away from me. Newport Beach area for reference. I'm so scared to move away from home. I've tried living in a different part of SoCal before, and I hated it. So I'm scared I'll have a bad experience again. But it seems like all the different areas of SoCal have way different vibes, and this area I'd be moving to is definitely my vibe. So I'm hopeful this time around it will be different if I decide to go. The other option is to go to this other college I got accepted to that is literally in my hometown, which I also already love. Let me know if you have any thoughts or advice on what to do. XO, a day one tyrant. Love you, day one. If it were me, I'd go to Newport. 100%. Newport, I was just there on Monday. It is so beautiful. It's literally like an adult Disneyland, kind of. Like, it just doesn't feel real. The freeways are so clean. Like, everything's just, like, perfect. It's literally, like, when you don't grow up going to California and you picture, like, you know, Hannah Montana and all these California movies, like, Newport is that. Like, Newport is what you picture. And it's just so amazing in person, and it's so cute, and like Laguna and all the surrounding areas are so fun. And you can like come up to LA if you want. So if it were me, I'm always going to encourage people to try something new, because guess what? Your hometown is always going to be there. You can always go back if you hate it. Like you said, you already tried to move to a different part of town or SoCal before and you hated it, and then you ended up back home. So what's going to stop you from going to Newport? And if you hate it, you can come home. I understand it might be hard, you know, once you're in school, but you can always transfer. There's always a way. Literally, we live in a world of like made up shit. It's Monopoly. Like if you get to Newport and you hate it, you hate your school, you don't have any friends, like you can move. But I am always going to encourage my tyrants to try new things. So I encourage you to go for it. You'll have to keep me updated and let me know what you do. Thanks for coming to the salon, babe. The next tyrant says, hey, Ty, obsessed with you and everything you do. Okay, so my whole family is Mormon, and I mean Mormon like everything in our household revolves around the church. I've been wanting to leave the religion for a few years now, but I have no idea how to bring this up and break the news. Do I keep pretending to be a part of the church or suffer the endless judgment and awkwardness I know I'll face? LOL, help, please. I love you. Wow. Okay. So I've been here before. I grew up obviously in a pretty Mormon household, and I didn't think we were like that Mormon, because in Utah there are like more Mormon-y people than we were. Like my sisters were allowed to wear bikinis and stuff like that, but we weren't allowed to drink coffee, and we, you know, weren't allowed to swim on Sundays, and we went to seminary, and like we were very Mormon. When I moved to Arizona, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, like we are pretty Mormon. And now like both my parents work in the temple, all my grandparents work in the temple, and yada yada. So I feel you. I feel your pain. However, I maybe had a little bit more of a catalyst to get out of the church, obviously being a homosexual. But I think you have to follow your heart. And I always encourage people to, if you love your family, sometimes you have to hurt the people that you love in order to love yourself more. And you have to, if they really love you, they are going to want you to be honest with them, and they're going to want you to be the most authentic version of yourself, following exactly what you believe. They might not ever say that to you, and they might not give you that energy, but deep down in their heart, if they truly love you and you guys have a good relationship with them, this might be a speed bump. It was a speed bump in my relationship with my family, but they came around because they realized if they want a relationship with me at all, this is just going to have to be something that they look past, because that's not changing. And them being in my life is conditional on whether or not they are happy that I am living my true self and doing what I want to do. And, you know, when I came out to my parents, they, even though they didn't agree with it, they were like, I honestly can't even be mad at you for doing this, because we raised you to be an independent, strong thinker. We wanted all of our kids to force their own path and be independent and be entrepreneurs and, you know, be themselves. And you can't nurture and, you know, cultivate an environment where you want your kids to do that. And then when your kids do that, but it's not exactly what you had in mind, you can't be upset. So I don't know. I don't know, obviously, what your family's like at all or how judgy it's going to be, but I think you have to be honest. And I think honesty, even when it's hard, is one of the most beautiful, freeing things that we can do. And I think it teaches us a lot about ourselves. And I think it teaches us a lot of life lessons about, you know, future relationships and how to be a mom and how to be a dad and how to be, you know, good in the workplace and all these things. So I would use this as a tool, you know, a life lesson to be honest and, you know, stand your ground and let them know, like, this doesn't have to change anything. This is just, you know, my journey. And I want you to respect that, because I respect you and your decisions and your thoughts and your beliefs, and I just want that same respect. But anyways, thanks for coming to the salon, babe. The next tyrant at the salon says, hey, your podcast slays, and so do you. My boyfriend and I have been dating for a year and a half. He's very kind and an attractive guy, but he grew up with only unhealthy relationships to observe. About 4 months ago, I had an ovarian cyst rupture that led to the... Oh my gosh, okay, I can't talk. About 4 months ago, I had an ovarian cyst rupture that led me to the emergency room. While in the middle of an ultrasound, I got fired from my job. My boyfriend wasn't working that day, so I asked him to come down and be there with me. He lives about an hour away. He said he was exhausted and didn't want to, and later I drove up to see him. The next day, I found out he was doing things I asked him not to and broke my trust. I can't get over it. Do you have any tips on how to move on from this and stay in the relationship? Thanks, King. Well, he sounds like a dick. So I don't know if I want to give you advice on how to move on and stay in this relationship, because this man deserves actual prison. This man deserves to be literally under investigation. I'm so sorry. You literally had an ovarian cyst rupture. It went to the emergency room. Whilst in the middle of an ultrasound, you got fired from your job. All while happening and doing this, your boyfriend only lives an hour away. That's not far. I'm sorry. I live in Los Angeles, so maybe I'm jaded, but like an hour away is nothing. Literally, I drive an hour away to go to lunch with JC. So what? And you weren't working. You're not going to come be with your girlfriend who's in the emergency room and just got fired from her job and is having a really rough day. And then on top of that, you lied to me and said you didn't want to. And meanwhile, then I found out that I don't understand what you found out. He was doing things that you asked him not to. That sounds no. That sounds a little iffy. You know, maybe like there was a third party involved. And honestly, maybe this isn't what you want to hear, but I'm giving you tough love, my little tyrant. I would really reevaluate where this relationship stands, because if this, you know, relationships and having a partner, yes, it's amazing for the good times and the sex and the kissing and the cuddling and the whatever and, you know, the love and the flirting and, you know, all of those things. But at the end of the day, like, we are in this life, if you want to be monogamous and if you want to have a boyfriend, if you want to have a girlfriend, if you want to have a partner, like, to have a partner, like, I need someone to help me when I am down. I need someone to lift me up when I'm down. I need someone to care for me when I'm sick. I need someone to be a partner to me. And if this dickwad is going to treat you like this, like, what's going to happen when you have kids, when you're pregnant, when you can't, you know, it's just kind of a red flag. And I really, really don't like this. So I would really reevaluate your relationship, but thanks for coming to the salon. The next tyrant at the salon says, "Hi, Ty, can't start this without telling you how amazing you are. You are my Beyonce." Do you want me to cry? That is so nice. Oh, I love you. "You are my Beyonce and no other podcast compares to yours. Also, thanks for being so nice and responding to my DMs. You're the best." Oh, love you, tyrant. "Anyways, I went through a breakup about 5 months ago. Long story short, this man and I were engaged and he broke up with me 1 week after I bought my wedding dress. Because he wasn't sure of me and was curious that there was someone else out there better for him than me." Yep. Thank you for the trauma, King. "Now to the advice part. How can I get over the fear of finding a potential partner in the future, but being scared they'll do the same thing? I don't feel ready to start a new relationship, but honestly, given the switch up after a mostly healthy relationship, I don't know how I'll ever be able to truly go on with someone again. Any help is much appreciated. Love you." I have no words for this absolute scumbag. The only thing that I can say is thank God that this, I mean, it sucks that literally it happened 1 week after you got your wedding dress, but I mean, thank God you didn't have to actually go through with the wedding and then have him divorce you after a month or a year, or whatever, after you had kids. I mean, oh God. I don't know. I feel like similar things to the first tyrant at the salon that I said, like, this is not a reflection of you whatsoever. This is 100% a reflection of him, his immaturity, his, you know, issues with commitment. And this has nothing to do with you. And I 100% think that I would have those same fears if I were you, that I, you know, when given the next opportunity to get engaged with someone, like, how am I ever going to feel fully settled? But all I can say is if you get to that point with someone that you're going to get engaged and you're you're going to get married, that means that that person has proven to you that they can trust you. Just because someone in your past has proven that they were untrustworthy at a certain point doesn't mean that you should project those feelings onto this person. And you actually cannot project those feelings onto this person, or you're never going to find that next person, because that person is always going to have in the back of their mind that you don't trust them. And you always have in the back of your mind that you don't trust them and that you don't trust that this is actually going to happen. But that's just life. And we can't live our lives in fear of the things that have happened to us in the past. We can't project the traumas of the things that have happened to us in the past, literally ruin our entire future. Because you're just never going to get anywhere. You're never going to grow anywhere. And you're never going to give someone the opportunity to even get that far with you again if you are going to have this in the back of your mind. So honestly, like, if you're going to therapy, maybe bring this up with your therapist. I'm sure you already have. But if you're not going to therapy, maybe this is something you should consider doing, because they might just have healthy practices for you to do. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to therapy. I should go to therapy, but I'm scared to unlock Pandora's box, if you know what I'm saying. But no, in all seriousness, I really think that you just need to, like you said, you're not ready for a new relationship. So I think that's amazing. Take some time for yourself, really heal from this. But no matter what, I think it's important in the stages of, you know, grief or getting over anything, to recognize when it's healthy to let it go. You have to learn to let things go, or you're going to end up bitter, resentful, alone. And I think that's a thing for me as well that I'm scared of, because it does take me a long time to let go of things. But I think the older I've gotten, I've definitely gotten better at letting things go, because you just realize that no matter what, I mean, God willing, I'm going to wake up tomorrow. Life is going to go on. I'm going to have to meet new people. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to go to work. I'm going to have to whatever. So the only thing, the only person that this person's actions of hurting me is affecting day to day is myself. Like, I am almost harming myself and adding fuel to the fire by not allowing myself to forgive this person, forget it, and move on. You know? Anyways, hope that helped. Thanks for coming. The next Tyrant at the Salon says, "Hey Ty, longtime follower here. Love you, and I listen to you during my night shifts working my ass off as a nurse and a single mom with sole custody." You guys are going to make me want to cry. Oh my gosh. I love you. Wow. Thank you for being a nurse. We love you. Single mom, sole custody. You are an icon working the night shifts. Oh my God. I just want to give you the biggest hug. You are an icon in my eyes. Wow. Love you. I've been divorced now for 3 years. I dated for 3 months a couple of years ago, and holy shit, so many bad dates, including getting catfished. I'm in a state of feeling so content by myself, no desire to find anyone. Plus, I'm in Utah and non-LDS, and I don't really want any more children. I relate to you so much, not wanting to hook up. I need a deep connection with someone before that even crosses my mind, which can be so hard in this dating scene. My choices are slim. I'm healed. I am very guarded, but I'm open to letting the right person in. How the hell do I navigate this? I'm also just waiting for a magical moment to happen, and I bump into someone and ta-da, love. But that isn't going to happen. I really do not want to put myself on dating sites, but if I don't do anything about it, I'll never find someone. But also feeling like I'm okay with that. Not sure what I'm even asking here, but do I put myself out there or bask in the bliss I feel being in charge of my own life, my own happiness? I'm in a mood to be soft. I'm so guarded. I'm strong. I have boundaries. But I get an itch here and there to just be in my feminine soft era, like some big man come love me and take care of me. Side note, for our fellow tyrants who are in an unhealthy, manipulative abuse cycle with your partner, you cannot change them. You have all the power to step away, lean on others for help. Know deep down it's going to suck and you will break, but one day you'll wake up and feel like the weight of the earth is finally off your shoulders. You'll be able to breathe. Choose yourself. You'll never regret it. Wow. Oh my gosh. Thank you, tyrant. We love that. Not a tyrant, you know, picking up a shift at the salon. Thank you. As far as your dating life, here's the thing. I think And I kind of talked about this with JC on an upcoming podcast for What We Said. I think it's coming up at the end of the month. Anyways, but it's important to recognize when you're not ready to be in a relationship, because in order for you to be in a healthy relationship, you have to be in a healthy relationship with yourself in order for you to be in a healthy relationship with someone else. And it sounds like you are just now getting to the point where you feel so amazing, you feel strong, you are healed, and you have a great relationship with yourself. Bask in this moment. And, you know, you're fine. You don't even want any other kids, whatever. So I would just bask in this moment for sure. We live in a time where, like, you don't want any children. Like, what are you in the rush for? Like, you don't, I get that you have an itch here or there, but that is just natural. That's human, you know? And I would truly just, I mean, I wouldn't write off dating sites. I myself have written dating sites off currently in my life era right now. Just because I know that I'm not the best version of myself right now. I, you know, could be drinking less. I could be going to the gym more. I could be eating healthier. I could be, you know, whatever. I'm really focused on other things right now than a relationship. And I am in a healthy relationship with myself enough to know that I'm not ready to enter a relationship right now, because that would be unfair to the other person, because I'm still a work in progress. And I don't know if I want to be working on a relationship while also working on myself. I want to be working on myself right now. And I think you should focus on that as well. And when you're ready, when the dating sites don't completely ick you out, then you could sign up. Because we got to get over that. We got to get over the fear of dating sites. I have that fear as well, but every one of my friends that is in a relationship right now that hasn't been dating for 10 years met their partner on a dating site. Like, that is just the way of the future. And we have to put ourselves out there, because guess what? No one's coming up to us at a bar. No one. And honestly, if someone did come up to me at a bar, I'd kind of be like, or at a coffee shop, I'd be like, why are you talking to me? You know, so I don't know. We just got to get with the times, Tyrant. But anyways, I hope that helped. Thanks so much for coming to the salon. The next Tyrant says, hey, Ty, first off, love you and met you at the What We Said live show in Irvine last year. And you were the sweetest and prettiest person. Also, love that you respond to DMs. Wow, you guys are just really filling my head. Thank you. Okay, so I always go back and forth on if I should double dip with someone I've hooked up with since I already got a body from them, even if the sex was mid. I'm sexually liberal and I don't think it should matter about body count, but at the same time, I would like to keep mine relatively low and selective because I feel like it's a special part of me. There's so much bad dick out there and I'm not trying to up my body count just to find good dick. So should I just double dip what I've already had or keep looking for good D? Okay, thanks. I love you in the pod. Mama, why you gotta pick? You can have both, sweetheart. You can, you know, double dip back in the pond of the average dick every once in a while when you just need a good pound town, or, you know, when you're feeling risky, when you're feeling like it, try out some new dick. But there's nothing wrong with going back to some mid dick to just go to pound town, you know. Good throat, go get it, girl. You know, because honestly, also, you know, sex can be, it kind of gets better if you keep doing it with a regular person, you know, right? Like, you guys can, you know, maybe learn what you like or learn, you know, whatever. So I say do both. Why cut yourself off to just one? Double dip in the pond and go find some new dick. I freaking love you and I love that submission. I'm so glad that, you know, we had a lighter one. We've had a lot of serious ones today, which is fine because it's kind of matching my energy. The next time at the salon says, hello, first of all, you are a breath of fresh air. I listen to every episode you put out and I've never laughed so hard in my life. You are such a light. Long live the Rat King. I love you guys. Thank you. Okay, here's the situation. I've been married for 4 years. Over these 4 years, we've had some extremely rough patches. In the last year alone, he said some unforgivable things. For example, he isn't attracted to me anymore. I'm so negative. He doesn't want to see me pregnant because I'm going to be horrible with pain, etc. He hasn't had a job in 6 months. He just started one today. He also didn't get me a birthday gift or anything this last week. We've been separated twice this year, plus each time he double downs, plus begs me back. Classic love bombing. I'm ready to leave. The birthday thing was the nail in the coffin. Goodbye. The birthday thing was the nail in the coffin. How do I do it? How do I communicate it properly? Thank you, always. First off, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. Second off, thank you, Jesus, because I was prepared to come on here and literally convince you to leave your husband. I didn't know that the, you know, salon, the nails were going to go this way. I, you know, thought you were going to ask for advice on how to get over this, because guess what? There's nothing to get over. Like, that is unforgivable. What kind of disgusting man tells their wife that he doesn't want to see them pregnant because they're going to be horrible with pain? What? What kind of husband tells their wife that they're not attracted to them anymore after 4 years of marriage? Absolute jail. You've only been married for 4 years. You've already been separated twice. Like, absolutely not. Get out while you can. From what it sounds like, you don't have children with this man. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Because hustle, muchacho. See you later, motherfucker. You're bye. You're done. You're done. I don't even understand. Like, I don't even know what to say in terms of advice on how you need to communicate this, because guess what? Hasta luego, muchacho. See you later. Like, you have absolutely no respect for me. You've had no respect for me. You have no respect for women. And goodbye. So if you have no respect for me, I have no respect for you. And so in turn, why do I need to, you know, do some grand gesture or find a respectful way on how to approach leading you? I'm so sorry. You just got a job today. Congratulations. You're going to go to work. You're going to pack up all your shit and you're going to be gone when he gets home and you're going to say, hustle away, muchacho, motherfucker. See ya. Honestly, I mean, the kind of kidding, maybe do that. I don't know. But I would get your ducks in a row, find a place to live, find, you know, a friend to stay with, pack up some shit, you know, here or there. And no joke, literally be ready to stay at someone else's house or move in somewhere else. And one day when he comes home from work, sit him down and be like, listen, we're done. I'm moving out. I got my own apartment, or I'm staying at so-and-so's house, or I'm staying at my parents' house until we figure out what to do with this place, our apartment or our home. I'm done. There's no getting back. We have been on two breaks already. We've had a horrible 4 years. You say you're not attracted to me. I don't care what you say. There's nothing you could say right now other than get an attorney because I'm filing. Like, goodbye. We're going to get divorced. See you later. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. But I just have to say, I'm so proud of you. Like, this is devastating. That's so frustrating to feel like you found your person, you finally got married, and whatever. No one wants to get divorced. No one wants to have, you know, multiple weddings and blah, blah, blah. And you think your whole life you're just going to get married and be with that person forever. And it's so devastating that that is just not the case. But we have so many good examples just in like pop culture and in society and in like, I'm sure your friends or your family or whatever, of people that got divorced from absolute idiots and then later met literally the love of their life and cannot even imagine what life would be like if they were still with that person. And thank God you don't already have kids with this person. You never have to see him again. You don't have to co-parent. You don't have to deal with custody. See you later. Get out while you can. I'm so proud of you. I love you. The next time at the salon says, hi, Ty. I'm in desperate need of some French tips. My best friend and her ex broke up back in October. They'd been dating for around 2 years, but the last 6 months was very rough and they had a few breaks. We're seniors in high school, but she just found out that her ex is bringing a girl to prom. She got super upset and angry that he's bringing someone, and I want to validate her feelings, but I also think it's time for her to get over this boy. They've been broken up for a while, and she's even gone on dates with a few guys too, but she's definitely not over him. She's tried talking to other guys, but nothing is helping, and not to mention, this boy was awful to her and couldn't even do the bare minimum for her while they were dating. So I don't really know what she sees in him. As her best friend, what should I do? I'm tired of talking about this boy, but I also want to help her. Love you. Thanks for reading. Wow. Watching your friend go through a breakup and have their heart broken and, you know, kind of act crazy and manic and do all the stages of grief and heartbreak sometimes can honestly be harder than going through it yourself. because you just want to shake them and be like, you are amazing. I love you so much. You don't even understand your worth. Like, that guy is a loser. That person is a loser. And you're amazing. So what do you see in this person? Like, I just want to shake you. And that can honestly be more frustrating than actually even going through yourself. I would just sit her down and be like, listen, I'm saying this as your best friend. I love you. I will be here for you. Whatever you, if you want to keep talking about this, I'll beat a dead horse. Like, we can bury this into the ground. We can literally talk about this for the next 10 years. I'm your best friend. I'm here for you. I will do whatever you need to do. But I need to give you a little bit of tough love. Shut the fuck up. Like, stop. Why do you give him so much control? Like, you've been broken up for a few months. You've been going on dates. I know you haven't found anyone, but like, let him do that. We're in high school. Like, of course he's going to take someone to prom. Like, duh. If he's not taking you to prom, like, what? He's just not supposed to go to prom? Duh. Like, we've got to be logical here. And you guys know how I feel about prom. I love prom. Everyone needs to go to prom. But, you know, sometimes friendships, you really do have to have a little bit of tough love. And you got to sit them down and be like, listen, you're not being yourself. And this person does not deserve this energy that you are giving them. You deserve so much better. You're so young. We're a senior in high school. Don't let this ruin your senior year. Don't let this ruin your senior prom. Like, get over this. I love you. How can I help? Also, if you want to keep talking about it, I will. You know, like, do it with compassion, but be like, girl, I promise you, you will feel so much better if you shut the hell up about this guy. Anyways, I hope that helped, but she will be so over this in a year. It won't even be funny. She's going to look back and regret all the time that she wasted thinking about this boy. Anyways, thanks for coming to the salon. The next time at the salon says, hi, Ty, here's my brief description of the issue I have right now. I've been talking to this boy for about 4 months now, and it just started progressing into something more serious. Here's the thing. Since the beginning of us talking and hanging out, I've been telling him small white lies about myself to appear like my life is more interesting than it actually is. For example, I've told him my dog has been in several movies and is a dog actor. I've told him I used to be a pro dancer, that I speak German, and the list goes on. I honestly can no longer keep track of my lies. What? He seems to really like me now, and I just realized I've made a big error, and he's going to find out that none of these things are true, and I will look so stupid. Is this normal? And should I confess to lying about these things or just brush it aside and hope he doesn't bring them up when we're married with 5 kids? Ma'am, you're under arrest. I have no words and I love you, but you might've fucked this up. You might've fumbled the bag. You might have to say hustle and muchacho to this man. But one thing you do have to do is be honest. I just gave a whole spiel earlier about honesty and how it's the most freeing thing. You have to be honest. And listen, if he really likes you, he's going to think that this is the funniest thing he's ever heard. And if he doesn't think it's funny, then you guys obviously don't have the same sense of humor. And see you later. Goodbye. If he leaves you for that, then literally goodbye. Like, it obviously wasn't meant to work. But you might think it's really funny. Just approach it in a funny way. Be like, listen, I literally did not think that we were going to go anywhere. So I was bored and I just thought I would lie. Obviously, they were all dumb and this is what I lied about. And yeah, you might look a little manic, but I feel like if you approach it in a funny enough way, but you 100% have to be honest. You cannot let this go on any longer. And please stop lying, because that actually kind of scares me. And this is coming. I understand these are like white lies and it's like dumb, but coming from someone who was lied to in my last relationship about something that my ex thought was just like a light, fun little white lie, like, oh, it doesn't matter, whatever. And to me, it was not a white lie. It was not just like, oh, a funny lie. Like, oh, haha, I found out the truth. Crazy. No, it was actually very traumatizing. And I'll get into that in my relationship episode coming soon. Who knows when I'm ready to dive into that situation. But lying is just never good. You got to stop. You got to stop and you got to be honest. But make it funny. Who knows? Maybe he'll find it funny. Anyways, thanks for coming to the salon. The next time at the salon says, my friend is hosting her friend's bachelorette party this weekend. The bride picked where to eat and what to do and gave her a list of friends to invite. The bride is local to the area, but my friend is not and will be driving 1.5 hours and booking a hotel to stay for the weekend. Everything sounded great until she said that she wasn't invited to the wedding or the reception. How weird is that? I feel like it is the maid of honor's responsibility to take care of the bachelorette party. Meanwhile, why would she ask someone to host her bachelorette party with intentions of not inviting them to the wedding reception? Ty, how fucked up is this and what are your thoughts? From a loyal tyrant. Oh my God, wow. Okay, so I guess this isn't even really like tips because what am I don't even have tips to give other than literally do not host this bachelorette party and never speak to this bitch again. Like, this is so weird. I've never heard anything like this. Your friend is hosting a bachelorette party for a girl who she was not even invited to the wedding or the reception. And she doesn't even live in the area. She is having to drive 2 hours away and book a hotel. Absolutely not. 100% jail. I don't want to be like offensive to your friend, but like what? Like why is she letting this girl walk all over her? Why isn't she invited to the wedding? Why isn't she invited to the reception? Like, I understand maybe this wedding ceremony is like a little bit more intimate. It's just family, but like the reception, like what? I could go to your bachelor party and I can plan it and I could host it and I could pay for it, but I don't get to go to the wedding. Absolutely not. I would never be friends with someone like this. That is crazy. That is crazy. Goodbye. Anyways, I guess thanks for coming to the salon. Sorry, I didn't really give any tips, but the next time at the salon says, "Hi, Ty. Figured you could give some good advice on this topic since you've made a living off of being a content creator slash influencer since basically the beginning of social media. I'm about to quit my job of 5 years that I love, but also have a feeling that it's time to go and move on. I absolutely love the job that I do, but I have a batshit crazy boss who I cannot wait to be away from. I started a podcast about pop culture last August, and I love doing it and look forward to recording it every week. I'm hoping that with more free time, I'll be able to dedicate more time to the podcast and possibly release more than one episode per week. I will still have a part-time job to get me by. Luckily, free rent is included with that job, but even with that money is going to be very tight. I have a vision of what I want the podcast to look like in the future, and I'm very optimistic about it. That being said, I'm nervous about building up my social media and not getting burnt out before I see any sort of income from it. I know I've got a long road ahead of me, but I'm confident that I can do it. I know that if I look back in 10 years, I'll regret not taking the chance on this more than I will regret being broke and lost for a bit. Do you have any advice on avoiding burnout on social media or tips on how I should go about? Thanks in advance. P.S. I'm glad you're becoming kind of a Swiftie and also all hail Queen Bee." Oh my gosh, love you, Tyrant. You're the best. All hail Queen Bee and the Swifties. Wow, this is hard. This is really hard because obviously you guys know I have a podcast. I'm an influencer. And you guys know that, you know, maybe the last year, 2 years hasn't been the best for me financially. I'm, you know, not in my, you know, rolling in the dough era. And that is my fault for spending money on Bottega Veneta sunglasses for Coachella. But nonetheless, and I understand how much work goes into being a podcaster and, you know, getting burnt out and all those things. And so I worry about those things myself. And so I feel, oh my, jail. I almost feel like unequipped to answer this or to give you advice because I'm going to need to be taking the same advice. But I feel like what I try to tell myself is that, I guess not tell myself, it's just that like if you really believe in yourself and you believe that you bring something to the space or to any space, to podcast, to influencing, to a job, to anything, if you truly believe in yourself, look at every single person that is successful. They look back and people looked at them like they were fools. Like Amazon started in his garage, you know, Tina Fey didn't get started. Like, I don't know. There are so many stories of celebrities who like people just wrote them off a million times. People get written off Shark Tank and all these things. And then they go and they do it themselves. And it becomes like a $1 billion business. And if you truly believe in something, like that is what people are going to be attracted to. And that's what they're going to be attracted to listening to. So I believe that you can do it for sure. And as long as you have a place to live, you got free rent included with the job, and you're going to be making some money, then you're going to be just fine. Avoiding burnout is all about managing expectations and also managing like the amount of content that you can create. Like, don't do what everyone else is doing and, you know, post every day and do this amount of stories or this or whatever. Don't do what you think people want or what Instagram wants you to do. Do what you can do consistently. Something that I feel like I fail on is weeks that I, you know, don't have a lot going on. I'll video every podcast. I'll do so many clips and it'll just be great. I'll shoot so many photo shoots, whatever. Weeks that I, you know, have maybe some more ads or I am traveling or whatever. The podcast goes to shit and I literally don't post on Instagram for 2 months. And it's like, that's just not sustainable. It shouldn't be so hot and so cold. Like, figure out a routine that works well for you and figure out an appropriate amount of content to be producing that you can be consistent with, because consistency is key. Consistency is the one thing that you should focus on. So whether that's posting once a week, 5 times a week, 6 times a week, doing a podcast once a week, whatever, whatever you can do, but make sure that it is consistent. That is when you are going to see success. But I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for, you know, believing in yourself and venturing off into this new adventure. But anyways, I love you. The next tyrant at the salon and the last tyrant at the salon says, I've been talking to this guy for 2 months now and he has been nothing but honest and open about his past with me, which I appreciate so much. But one thing about him is he has 2 girl best friends he met long ago. And one night, 8 years ago, him and one of the girls had sex when they were drunk. Him and the girl best friends all still talk to this day. They don't talk daily, but they are still best friends. I've yet to meet them, but the thought of him still keeping in touch with the girl he fucked makes me sick to my stomach. She's married and has a baby, and the guy I'm talking to has reassured me about the whole situation, telling me that there are no romantic feelings between them and between their little friend group. They never talk about that one night. I truly don't know if this is something I can look past. I do not want to ask him to cut things off with the girl best friend because they were friends first. So my only options are to stay and hope that he's being truthful and will remain faithful and not overtend to his girl best friend, or leave because I feel very uncomfortable with everything. What do I do? So this is kind of a tricky situation because a lot of people have very different opinions. Me and JC have very different opinions on, you know, heterosexual boys and heterosexual women being best friends, especially when you like have partners and, you know, it sounds like she's married. Obviously he's dating you. First off, let me just start out by saying they've been best friends for 8 years. You've been dating for 2 months. In no world can you tell him to cut her out of his life for you. Like, that's not going to happen. Guess how that's going to end. You're alone. Hustle ego. That's just not going to happen. So it's a matter of if you truly feel like you can get past this or not. But honestly, you've only been talking to him for 2 months and he's been super honest about his past. He already told you about that. Like, girl, I wouldn't let this keep you up at night. Like, you don't even know if you like this guy. Like if you're going to marry this guy, you don't know. 2 months is still so early on in a relationship. Who the fuck cares who he had sex with when he was drunk 8 years ago? Like, that just feels dumb to me. I mean, not dumb. Your feelings are valid. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just said that. Like, I mean, it just feels so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And in past relationships, I had gotten anxiety when I would meet people and, you know, then I had later found out that, like, oh yeah, like even though we weren't like hanging out with this person, if we like ran into them at a bar and, you know, my ex hugged the person or whatever, I was like, oh, who's that? And he's like, oh, like we used to hook up like a while ago. And I'd be like, oh, okay. And that used to bug me so bad, but it's like, we really have to understand that, like, hello, people have a life before they meet you and before that they meet their partner. And also, people hook up with people when they're drunk and then later become best friends or become, you know, whatever. Like, you really got to let that go. Not even for this relationship, whether this relationship flourishes or not, but like for yourself. Like, you really have to like think within yourself what it is about that makes you so insecure and that you can't get over and that makes you uncomfortable. Because, okay, so he had sex with a girl 8 years ago and like now they're great friends, whatever. It's a funny story to tell. Like, let it be that. Like, make it light. It's only as serious as you make it out to be. And obviously this is so much easier said than done. And your feelings are so valid. I'm not trying to sound like, oh my gosh, why are you upset about this? But I truly just think that, like, if you really step back and look at it on paper, it's really not that big of a deal. And I don't know, like, what but your sex life is like, but it's like, you've hooked up with people. And, you know, it's like, everyone has a past, everyone has a future. But when you enter a relationship with someone, I don't think it's healthy to say that that person, like, now, like, has to cut off every single person that he, like, has ever, like, done anything with or kissed or had a crush on, even if, because they're not now they're friends. Like, that means that you don't trust him and that you don't think that he has the emotional maturity to have had a drunken hookup with someone one night and then not be able to move past that. You know what I mean? So I don't know. You've only been dating for 2 months. I would really even make sure that you even like this guy, and you might meet her and become literally best friends with her. You have no idea. Like, think of the two girls on The Bachelor who just finished. Joey, it was Daisy, and Chelsea, I think the last girl's name was. Chelsea and Daisy are, or whatever her name is, the girl who won, and Daisy are best friends now. They both did fantasy suites with the same guy 2 days after each other. And it's just like, you have to realize that, like, not every situation, and you can meet the dream guy of your life, but, like, there's going to be some speed bumps. There's going to be some things that aren't ideal. But if he's being honest with you and he's great and, you know, you might meet her and become besties with her, you've got to let that go. You've got to at least be open to the opportunity, you know? I don't know. If the Bachelorette girls can do it, I think you can do it. But anyways, thanks for coming to the salon. I love you, my little tyrant. That's going to end out the salon today because I've got to go to bed. Sorry that today's, guys, I got to stop ending episodes with saying sorry because, like, why am I saying sorry? It's literally my podcast and my time. Like, also, I don't have to be a clown on every episode, you know? I feel like I've been a clown lately. I feel like I've been literally so shocking lately, but sometimes I'm chill, you know? Sometimes I am a little bit more demure and I'm not yapping your ears off. So today's French tips was that for you. But anyways, I hope I'm having so much fun at Coachella. I hope you guys have the most amazing weekend. If you guys are at Coachella, come say hi. If you find me, I'm probably going to be fucked up. But and I can't wait to give you a recap next Wednesday. But pray for me that I'm staying hydrated, nutritioned. Pray that I get sleep. But I love you guys. See you guys on Wednesday.
Bye.